that's what I learned about Ireland golf in general, yeah. was like, you're going to hit good shots and you're not going to get rewards.
So one of the things I realized quickly, like over there, is laying back was a good strategy.
The caddy experience in Ireland was like nothing I ever could have imagined, both for better and for worse.
Yeah. One of the biggest misnomers is like people are like, oh, the greens suck, you know, or the greens are slow. What you don't appreciate is that on every putt, you're dealing with a lot of slope most of the time.
Yes.
And so much wind that it affects your putt so positive.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it.
A much anticipated episode on the Windsong Farm trip to Ireland that Andy and I were a part of. We're going to be doing this in two parts. This will be part one of our Ireland trip, which we are terming golf on the edge of the world, which I think I saw at the Narn at Portnew.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's good. Yeah. Did we talk about that on the way over there? Yeah. I think you did. Yeah.
I was on the bus and I had the eureka moment. I was like, dude, golf on the edge of the world. It's like the greatest name for a podcast ever.
Yeah. This was your first trip to...
Overseas in general,
and links golf, right?
Yeah,
obviously we'll get into it, but I'm interested in
my opinions.
Like two lanes. One lane is kind of what your experience was like playing links golf for the first time, and then also comparing Ireland to Scotland.
Well, I've never been to Scotland,
right? Which I can do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go through. I think a good place to start is let's go through the itinerary and kind of like the because we set up games to start. We had a lot. We had a lot of pre-Ireland stuff. This trip was planned a year in advance. We have to shout out Ben Schaff, obviously, for putting together a phenomenal trip and making it super easy. Yeah. And I think his affiliations with RTG Golf, who did a lot of the like the lodging, the shuttles, like all of that.
I mean, Tom Kozlak, I think is the guy's name.
Soup to nuts. Like literally it was, here's the itinerary. You need to book your flight. And oh, by the way, Delta has a nonstop from MSP to Dublin.
Yeah, now, I will say like, that is a sweet way to do it, is to go through one of the companies.
Yeah, it just makes it so easy.
Yeah. And the other part of where we went, through the company, a couple observations on the trip planning thing, which I think we're going to maybe do an episode on, or separate episode with Ben.
Ben's coming on to talk just about kind of golf, because that's his thing, right?
It's golf trips, right?
Golf trips.
Yeah. I would say like at a high level, there were a couple things I really liked about the itinerary. One is we only stayed in two places. So we did four nights and then three nights. And so that was really nice, not having to pack up your stuff, drive to another place, get another hotel room, right? If you can keep it at two places, I think that's the sweet spot. The places that we stayed were both in town. So there were pubs and restaurants and things to do at night, you know?
Yeah. Get fully entrenched into the Ireland way of life, which is pretty sweet.
So that was sweet. And then if you look at our rota of courses that we played, we did not do the like South Ireland trip that everybody who goes to Ireland, or most of the people who go to Ireland, do, right?
Yeah, complete north, what did that be? Northwest Ireland?
Yeah. Which the other thing that was cool about the trip that we did is it's a little bit of a off the beaten path stuff. And so at most of the courses, like we were the only tour bus there.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of the courses we were like not only the only bus, like most of the times there were not that many people playing golf. Like either, we were there during a week, right? And weekday. So obviously
if you go down to like kind of the south part of Ireland with all the...
More touristy?
I think it's very touristy, right? And so that's kind of a cool thing. Like if you're an American, you think about it like the fact that our tour bus of 12 people like pulled up to Karn and played, and we took 12 caddies. Like, that's material to Karn's bottom line.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't think about that. They were saying a lot how like, oh yeah, you're our only group for a week.
Literally like the owner or the GM of the club was there. I don't know if you met him. He was super cool. He like came out to like say what's up. And so yeah, I mean, I think if you're planning a golf trip, like it's easy as an American to be like, oh, you know, I want to play
old head,
or I want to play, you know, whatever. And it's like, there's so much great golf over there. Like you can play a lot of awesome, awesome golf and do it in a way that is beneficial to, and the other element I was going to say is like the trip cost was not unreasonable. No,
it was not at all. I remember when people were asking me about the cost and I told them it was,
do we want to talk about that? Like, and we could talk openly about it. I think the trip cost was like $3,500 or something
all in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, so, I mean, that shuttles, that's all your rounds, that basically it didn't include caddies.
Right.
And your food,
but like
food that you ate.
Shuttles, hotel, like shuttle as in like we had a bus, hotel. It didn't include airfare.
Yep. Didn't include airfare.
Right. So, but I think if you did that same trip, we played 7 rounds of golf.
Yeah. It came out to, so that's $460 per round and you're including all travel and expense
and hotel
and the golf.
So if you go south, that trip could be double.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we got to play some of, we'll talk about the most just picturesque places ever. And we're going to be doing some, you know, mini series stuff and like photos and videos of everything over the coming weeks. But the itinerary, what was it? 8 days. So we did a red eye from MSP to Dublin. So we're fortunate.
Shout out Jordan's upgrades.
Yeah, that's also a story in and of itself. Literally the night before, I just got on the chat with Delta, and I am a Diamond Medallion member, so you know I got through the chat pretty quick. But I'm like texting Andy and I'm texting Delta, and I was like, hey, I see there's still 2 upgrades, and you know there's 2 of us, and you know, do you think you could help out? Like, my Diamond guy. And he's like, let me see what I can do. Click, 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 click. Comes back and he goes, refresh your screen. Like, he didn't even say yes. He just said, refresh your screen. All of a sudden it went purple.
Yeah.
We're in Delta One. Baby.
Yeah. So
we're flying Delta
One.
So
I will say, like, that was a game changer.
Yeah. Cause we flew the red eye and we got to, like, the lean back seats. Like,
we got total lie flat. And I slept 6 hours on the way there. Right. So we left at 9:30 at night. Mm-hmm. I got on the plane, had dinner, was out in sheets. Like horizontal.
It's a 7.5 hour flight.
Woke up, breakfast was served, we landed, and it was like 10 a.m. their time.
Yeah. I think it was 11 or 12. And the first day that we landed was strictly traveled because, you know, if you look at a map, we flew into Dublin and then we had about a three hour drive, straight north. So, like,
Northwest.
Northwest.
We drove through Northern to Letterkenny and then out of Northern Ireland, which was weird because we stopped at a gas station and I bought something and I got change in a different currency.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I got sterling instead of euros. Yeah, Northern Ireland has a different currency.
The other fun fact just about the travel in general before we get on the golf is that on the way back, you go through customs in Dublin. So my dad was telling me there's only, I think, 3 countries. It's Ireland. I'm not even going to pretend that I know the other 2, but you go through customs there. So then when you land, like, you're literally just in the MSP airport and you could just walk out to get picked up.
Yeah.
If you didn't have bags.
I didn't really even realize that we'd
were like, oh, we got to go through customs. I was like, no, dude, we did that there. Like, you don't, you kind of walk through the line in Dublin and all of a sudden you're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah
you go through customs there. Yeah, so that was cool. Awesome.
The other thing before you get into the itinerary was the guys we went with. So we went with 10 other guys, all from our club. All were pretty good players.
Some have been on the podcast. And some will be coming on the podcast.
Yeah, 2 of our pros, our head pro and one of our assistant pros, Matt and Nate. So that was really cool. So each of our head pros had their own team of 6 guys. They did a draft, and then there was like North versus South, and we did a whole.
I was the last pick, by the way.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably just because your handicap is so low. It was
it's not anymore after Ireland. Not anymore.
Yeah. The score, we got to talk about like golf over there. But And then each day we did a different, it was like a different format. So yeah. I think the first day was like best ball. We played 36 the first day. So we did like a best ball and then we did alternate shot.
Yep.
Then one day we did like a Stableford game.
Another day we just did birdies only. Like you just got a point if you got a birdie.
Yep. On another 36 day we did Dream 18 Stableford. So
yep. Pick your best 18 holes.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah. And coincidentally, like, I mean, again, shout out to Ben. I don't know if he did this on purpose or not, but the games, I think we did get a little lucky with the weather, but they matched up really well with the courses and with the weather. Like the day that we did birdies only was one of the hardest conditions ever. Like it would have been horrible to try and go and shoot a score, right? Like it was really fun to just play for a birdie.
Yeah.
And then like, if you hit a bad drive or you hit a bad shot, try and dunk it or try and do something, whatever, like on to the next, like that worked out really
well. And the whole thing came down to the last group and the last hole.
Yeah, 1 point. It was tied going into the last, not even the last group, literally the last match, which was you and Beef, and it came down to like a six on the last hole.
Yeah,
right?
I won with pouring double. Rain. Yeah.
That's Ireland golf, man, and we'll talk about it. But so the first day, flew in, like you said, landed in the morning, strictly a travel day, 3.5 hour drive. Second day is when we played our first rounds of golf. We did 36 holes. That was at St. Patrick's Links at Rosapenna. Went back to the hotel after obviously going to the pub. Some talking golf here. Second day, we played Glacetti Links at Ballyliffin. The third day was 18 at Narn and Portnew. That had lunch included with our round, which is awesome. And then the following day, that's when we checked out, changed of city. So went from Letterkenny to Ballina, I think was the way that we pronounced it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that drive, I think it was like a 3 hour drive, we played County Sligo golf. That was at around noon. Checked into our hotel. We spent three nights there. So the next day we played Carn Golf Links. The last day was Enniscrone, which is our last day of golf. And then the next morning we checked out, drove back down to Dublin, and then flew nonstop to MSP. I think our flight was around 12 o'clock, and we landed at 3 o'clock MSP time with the time change.
Yeah.
So that was probably the toughest day with the time change. You know, you have 7 hours of time change, and you're kind of going back in time. Like, you land at 3 o'clock. It feels like it's 10 or 11, and you're staying up all throughout the day to try and, you know, make your following morning. But I would rather do that than vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I liked flying the overnight the first night.
Yeah.
So we'll talk this episode specifically about our first three rounds of golf. So basically our time in Letterkenny, right? Like our first hotel, our first three rounds. And I think the first course that we played ended up being on most people's kind of like in the middle in terms of what they liked in golf. Like, you know, it was stack ranking golf courses. It was the St. Patrick's Links at Rosapenna. It fell on like two or three on my list. I seem to like it a little bit more than others did, but we had arguably our best weather day.
Yeah. The first day was like literally perfect.
Yeah. It was, I want to say it was like 70 and sunny, not a lot of wind.
Yeah. Which for over there is still wind, but
yeah. Very true. So it's ranked number 55 in the world's top 100 golf courses.
So it's a big deal. And the reason it's a big deal too is because, the property is owned by a family and used to have two 18-hole courses on it. And the way that kind of golf is working now in Ireland, it's like almost impossible to build new golf courses because of the environmental regulations. And so because the property is so big, they had enough room to basically tear down the two golf courses and then just build one really good golf course. And so they hired famed golf course architect Tom Doak to do it. So it's a relatively modern take on a links golf course. This is a funny story, but I actually know the guy who shaped all the greens there quite well. He also shaped all the greens at Washington Golf in Virginia. So the punchline on St. Patrick's, at least for me, was on the fifth hole of the trip, I made a hole in one.
I was going to bring this up in a more funny way, but that works.
Yeah. On the fifth. So like we played
first round.
Yeah.
On your birthday. Yeah,
on my birthday.
The first par three.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk about the shot real quick.
Well, so yeah, it was, it's funny because like whenever I get over to Scotland or Ireland, like, you know, it's interesting. I never really score the ball super well unless I'm like really trying to, but I just have so much fun hitting like different shots. Like I just, cause you don't get to hit those shots in the US.
And you have to.
And you have
to. I didn't learn for a few days.
Yeah. You don't necessarily like, well, you have to do some things, but like, you know, you could take three or four clubs more and just play like a standard shot or whatever, right? I mean, on some of them.
You could try, but I would argue the hard part is it's the spin and then the wetness typically of like the courses. And then they're fast and firm, but
Some of the shots I hit though were just like ridiculous, like hitting a driver into a par three for fun, stuff like that, right? Where it's just like, you don't have to do that. And it's hard for me to resist it, like, because I just... I don't know. It's just like you see a shot and you're like, I want to try it.
Like Winnie talked about liking to do that too.
Yeah. And so on that par three, which was the fifth, it was 140 yards like into the wind and I hit a seven iron. I hit like a dead hand, like flighted seven iron. So what I found, at least playing over there.
Was it a shot you tried to hit too?
Totally.
Like 100%. It was a
perp. Yeah.
Because you get a lot of hole in one. Somebody's like, oh yeah, I kind of like I thinned it or whatever. Like you executed perfectly.
It was perfect. Yeah. It's great. And I have this shot where it's like, if it's windy, especially over there, it's like a heavy wind. Like it's like not, it's different wind than we have. Like
yeah.
It's heavy.
It is. It's like imagine that wind where it's like swirling, but then it's also the direction into you. Yeah. So you get kind of both.
Both. Yeah. So like I have this shot that I play over there and I might play it a little bit more at home. Cause it's really good, but basically I take two clubs more or three clubs more depending on the wind. This one I took three clubs more. And so it was 140. I might hit a pitching wedge normally. Well, I hit seven iron and I hit it half. So like half speed, dead hand. And it's just like, it's like just a half a swing.
Yeah, basically. Keep it below the wind.
And it kills all the spin, knocks it down, flights it in there. And then the wind will still affect it, but it's almost like I feel like it's like a pitch shot with like an iron. And so I hit that shot, flighted it in there, landed 10 feet right of the hole, spun down the little slope and went directly in.
God,
I was like, that was sick.
We heard you guys. So we were in the group behind you and somebody thought it went in, which obviously it did. But then, you know, in the same realm, somebody was like, well, I can see the pins kind of tucked. Maybe they thought it went in and it didn't because they were running and they stopped. But we come to find out you guys were sprinting towards it and you just ran out of breath.
That's exactly what
you're
happened.
You're like, the caddy was like, why were you guys running? Then you stopped and you're like, I ran out of breath.
I was gassed.
Because it was a really long run into the wind.
So what did you think of the golf course?
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was also because, you know, I was kid in a candy store, first day, really good weather. But we also got to play it twice, so I felt like I really got to learn the golf course, where a lot of the other ones was just 18. And, you know, like when you see a golf course for the first time, you know, like you can maybe have some blind shots or not know like where stuff lands. And you kind of get, maybe not frustrated, but like, oh man, I wish I would have played that hole different. And like at this one, we got to play it twice.
Yeah.
So you remembered the holes and you got to really like understand the golf course.
Yeah.
And it was also just my first experience of like, dunes golf. I mean, a lot of the courses we played had the, you know, high big dunes, but that one especially, the way I've been describing Ireland to people is, you know, over here we move dirt, right? Like you find a piece of land and you move dirt to how you want it. And it felt like over there you didn't move anything. You just carved the golf course into the land.
That's a great way to describe
that,
it.
That was there. Yeah. And so just imagine, you know, being on the ocean, these really high dunes. And you just like take a massive lawnmower and you're like, I'm going to cut a fairway right through here. Like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
That's how it was. And that was the first time I was like, holy cow, this is different. Like the grass is different because you're not able to, like you're playing on, you know, really tightly mowed down almost fescue or dune. And it just like, you felt like you were playing on the ground that was originally there, not the land that was artificially made to be there.
Yeah. I thought to me, the golf course itself at St. Patrick's was super cool. Like I really liked it. Yeah. Very dunesy, very rugged. It's kind of a resort, like the property. And so it just, maybe it felt a little bit to me like it just lacked a little bit of like character. You know, just some of the holes felt kind of maybe similar in a way, you know?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And so, but it, I mean, yeah, like it's in my top 20.
Most of the courses we played there are going to be in my top 20 for sure. But I think, you know, stack ranking these, obviously we'll do a rating at the end on our opinions. But, you know, at our last dinner the last night, we all kind of went around and stack ranked our six or seven that we played. And I think St. Patrick's Rosapenna was pretty much everybody's like either third or fourth.
Yeah. Just like right in the middle.
Yeah. It wasn't like the top. It wasn't the bottom. It was just like right in the middle.
Which is interesting because it was the highest rated course that we played.
Yeah. Well, and you wonder too. So I was, you know, just reading kind of the background on it. Like you said, it's Doak. Right. Yeah. And then it was also newly architected. It said construction began in 2018. Greens completed in 2019. And then the finishing touches were 2020 because obviously COVID was going on during a lot of those years. And so I think, you know, being a new course, being where it is, the views that it has and how many people are now going to play it, you know, probably has gotten it a little bit more, you know, notoriety than anything else. And
so it's funny, just to tie us out here with another little side story about the hole in one. But I was saying the guy who's like Doak's, I guess, lead shaper, Eric, He did all the greens at Washington Golf, which is where I play in that member guest every year, where my dad's a member. Yeah. And we were paired with Eric this year, and I was giving him shit about the 15th hole there, because the green is just like the most diabolical green you've ever seen. Like, it's a par four, and it's the hardest hole I've ever played. It's
wild.
It's insane. And so, like, you know, I was just busting Eric's balls, you know, about it. Like, Eric, what drug were you on when you shaped this green? Like, right. Like, and he's such a good guy, right? He's like, you know, kind of wearing it. And, Eric shaped the green that I made the hole in one on. So
did he really? Yeah, did he text him?
He literally shaped that green, like by hand. He did it.
No way.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I texted him, or I got a message through to him that said, you know, hey man, like I made a one on one of your holes that you shaped. So, you know, I repent on all my criticism, about the 15th hole at Washington Golf. So anyway, I thought that was like pretty cool. And he's obviously a great guy.
Well, that's, what a way to cap the trip. And I mean, we also, for anyone that knows or is a member of the 20 club, $20 if you make a two, we had going on the entire trip. And
oh yeah, for everybody club, it's so
yeah for everybody yeah. So, you know, there's 12 of us, let's say, hypothetically, let's say you were the only person to make a two on the entire trip, and there's only one birdie, you would make
$240.
Yep, yep. 11 because it counts.
You're
here,
right.
So
$220.
But a hole in one is $100
per
very
guy.
Rare.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen very often. And usually it's only in a group. So let's say you make a hole in one, your other three people in the 20 club, it's $300.
Yeah.
Andy, first hole of the trip, makes a hole in one. And I think you also ended up making a couple too. So you did very well on the 20 club.
Yeah. It's good to get off to a roaring start on that.
Like, yeah, I was just playing with house money. $1,100 20 minutes into the trip. Yeah. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
So day two was Ballyliffin Golf Club.
Yeah.
Just a couple of things here on Ballyliffin, since Ben did a really good job kind of giving us the overview. They have two courses there, right? They have 36 holes, Glacetti Links and the Old Links. We played Glacetti, right? It is so Glacetti has hosted the European Tour, 2018 DDF Irish Open, the 2016 Irish Closed Championship, and they call it the Boys Home Internationals, the European Tour Northwest of Ireland Open in 2002, the Ladies Irish Open in 98, and let's see, the Old Links has hosted the European Tour Irish Seniors Open in 2008, and the Irish Women's Close in 2015. So both the courses there have obviously hadn't hosted a lot of tournaments, so awesome golf course.
Would you, I think we played together that day.
Was that the first day we played together?
Yeah, I think it was, because I remember we both hit the same club into that, I had 4-iron and you hit 5-iron into that crazy downhill.
This is the one that had not as much dunesy, if I remember right. Like, you kind of started with the clubhouse right when you were there, and we all teed off like right in front of the clubhouse. Yep. Right, and it had a lot of sheep and cows pretty much like lined on every single hole, and kind of you went out and then you came back in, right?
Yeah, so I like loved this golf course.
You did. Ballyliffin was high on your list.
Yeah, Ballyliffin was second on my list, but we'll get to that later. But it's old. It's true championship style, like it's long from the back. Want to play it long. We played it pretty long that day, like, and that was ambitious. I remember thinking, like, what have we done? And that's like long is like 6,800 yards or something, right? Yeah. Like,
well,
like
and this is the one that Rory says you have to play if you ever go to Ireland.
Yeah, I thought it was unbelievable. And so really creative, really cool holes, like built straight into the landscape, very old, a lot of character, a lot of charm. And truly a very, this course felt very Linksy to me, right? Like, yeah, like you mentioned, a little less dunesy, more of a true Links style. And what I mean by that is I think the first five holes, I hit five awesome drives or whatever, right down the middle and ended up in four pod bunkers.
Yeah. This is the one that was kind of like tight fairways. Yes. You like kind of wanted to try and play targety golf, but it didn't give you the risk reward.
Yeah. Well, it just like, yeah, it was like, it was, there were periods where it was just like unfair. Like, it's like, oh my God, I hit a perfect drive and I'm in this pot bunker, right? Yeah. It was the one that you kept getting, you felt like you kept getting bad clubs.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. Which,
and you were getting so frustrated.
I felt like I did, and I was getting very frustrated. But that's what I learned about Ireland golf in general, was like, you're going to hit good shots and you're not going to get rewarded.
Totally. And that's what I loved about Ballyliffin. And that sounds a bit diabolical, but like, there's an element of luck out there where it's like, did you get a good bounce? You didn't get a good bounce. Okay, you're in a pot bunker. Like, you're making bogey, right? Like, and like those pot bunkers are like, you have to hit a 60 degree into the fairway. Like, you can't go for it. You know?
I think this, so this course, although wasn't in my top three, it did have my most favorite hole.
Which one?
It was the, you know, 100-yard downhill par three that, depending on where the wind is, you could be hitting a 60-degree or, like, we had five. I hit a 5-iron from 130.
So my caddy said he's seen every club in the bag hit on that hole except putter.
I don't. The only way that hole could have gotten any better, I hit probably the best shot of my entire trip.
Yeah.
I can't even. We'll send a video because I did take an awesome video of just the hole in general, but you are at the top of maybe a 150-foot dune.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Yep. It's probably, I would say it's like 200 feet up.
200 feet up? Yeah. Okay. I mean,
It's like, it's not like it is the weirdest golf shot like you've ever hit.
Straight downhill.
like if you fell off that hill, like you would die.
Yeah. It was straight downhill. And I think they said if there's no wind at all, it's like 130 true. Playing, I think it was like 100.
It was 150 true.
Playing 130
to 120 something.
Okay, so we're in the same realm
in that back box. Yeah.
So if there's no wind, you're playing still pretty significantly downhill. 100-yard shot.
I nutted like absolute middle of the face, flushed a 4-iron.
Yeah.
You flushed a 5-iron.
Yeah.
I was on the back of the green. You were 15 feet from the hole.
And it was, it's because you went in front of me. And I was like, oh, 4-iron might be too much from 130. Maybe I'll do a 5-iron. Oh, that's going to be perfect.
Like, think about that, though. Like, that's crazy, right? Like, you hit your 205 club or 200 club. Yeah. I hit my 220 club to a 120-yard actual hole.
Yeah.
Flushed.
Yeah. That was my favorite hole of the trip.
Yeah.
All of it. I mean, just the walk up and down, the
and
whole
there's
thing.
There's water right of the hole. There's like a little pond. Like, there's like a...
It was raining.
Yeah.
It was blowing 40 miles an hour straight into us on that specific hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's... I remember you kind of looked at it. You're like, welcome to Ireland. Like, here we are. And I will say too, like I think that was the best caddy experience we had too. You know, we'll obviously talk a little bit about the caddies because it was a very mixed bag there. But so Ballyliffin was what top? It was top two for you or
it
top
was,
three?
Yeah, Ballyliffin. I mean, it's historic. It's championship style. It's got the right mix of like fair and rewarded for good shots, but unfair. You know, if you don't hit it perfect. I think one thing we haven't talked about that is important to talk about, especially, and this was especially a thing at Ballyliffin, and it's one of the reasons I had it rated a little higher than others, has not been a great weather year in Ireland and has not been a great summer. And so they've gotten a lot of rain. And I will say, like, the fescue over there was pretty unplayable.
Oh yeah,
it put a totally different perspective in my mind on like Windsong's fescue.
I mean, a lot of our audience either is a member at Windsong or has played Windsong, And what I would tell you is imagine Windsong's fescue at its worst, and then another foot deeper and thicker and softer.
Yeah.
Like if your ball went in there,
yeah,
immediately buried, you're not finding it.
Yeah.
And even if you find it, you are not playing it.
Right.
Like it is a two-stroke penalty.
Right. Which was like really surprising to me because I'm very, every links course I've ever played, the fescue's been playable. It's been a half a shot penalty.
Yeah. Kind of like there was one course we played that was a little bit more playable. I think
Sligo.
Was it Sligo?
I think Sligo for the most part.
That in you some could spots at least find it.
Yeah.
And you can hack it out.
Yep.
This stuff was, I mean, you would step on it and it would immediately be up to your knees.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like dangerous to walk on. Like you
yeah,
could easily roll
you found
an angle.
Some yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So it was brutal. And I think some of that's been the weather. I think some of it's just what it is. But yeah, the fescue over there was like, I lost a lot of golf balls. Like it was brutal.
I think by day three, there was somebody asking if anybody brought enough golf balls.
Yeah. Because like, and it's not like the thing is like the fescue at Ballyliffin, like it's pretty tight out there. So the fescue is kind of like, I mean, on a lot of drives, it's in your shot pattern, you mm-hmm. know, like it's not like you, it takes a really bad one to hit it in the fescue. Like,
no, not at all. I mean, you could be 5 yards off the fairway.
Totally.
And be, and be done.
Yeah. So one of the things I realized quickly, like over there is laying back was a good strategy. I started to do that more as the trip went on. Like not
I started hitting three wood.
You started everywhere. Hitting three wood, right? I started hitting a lot more like just like chippy mini drivers, like yeah. just get it chasing out in the fairway. And I kind of wish I'd brought like a 2 iron or something. But yeah, like it really pays to hit the fairway over there. Cause you on the second, it's not on the second shots, like Windsong is like a second shot golf course. A lot of the courses I feel like in links golf that we played, it's like, it's really like you have to get in a position off the tee.
Yeah. Because when you do, you know, assuming you, let's,
you can
let's
roll it up. You
yeah.
Can,
let's assume you've got a good caddy, you know, the course, like all that stuff. You can play, like you said, you can play a lot of different shots to get on the putting surface.
Yeah. Right.
And not to mention the fairways are very firm there. Yeah. And so it feels like you're hitting off turf. Like, yeah. You don't take divots there. Yeah. Like you can try to take a divot, yeah. and you're not going to take a divot.
Yeah.
And so being in the fairway is a massive advantage.
Massive
and the second
advantage.
You're off, you're out of it.
Yeah, kind of undid a lot of what I thought I knew about strategy, like which is so cool, again, about links golf, is like it's anti-bomb and gouge. Like it's, you know, there's some places I'm sure you can bomb and gouge it, but like you see why. It's like, yeah, like if I'm in that shit, like, and that's in my shot pattern, like at 320 or 300 yards, like the landing area is 30 yards wide, not 50.
Yeah.
Like
relative to handicap, it's no surprise that I think Winnie and Mama probably played the best again, relative to handicap yeah. played the best because yeah. they hit the driver straight
and 255
and they're going to get, you know, 30 yards of rollout right. and then they flush their irons
yeah.
and like,
yeah,
they're able to do that.
Yeah.
Like we struggled because we try and hit it far. And you can't bomb and gouge, like
yeah,
you said. Like
that's
you try,
right.
you hit a 300-yard drive would normally be a very good drive. Is 5 yards off the fairway, mm-hmm. you're dead.
You're
it's
dead.
Gone.
Versus like in America, you're in the rough and you still have an advantage over someone
yeah,
that's
you're hitting a wedge
back, right?
Yeah, and you can at least get it out. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about not even finding your golf ball.
Yeah, but Ballyliffin, I would love to go back to that place.
Yeah, for sure. And great caddies, great experience all around. I know I think we definitely had some heavy rain that day, yep. if I remember right. And then the last day to round out Ireland part one of just the golf courses was County Sligo, which
well,
I know...
Portnew and Narn, right, was next.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was yeah. Narn and Portnew. Yep. Man, I was jumping ahead because I loved County Sligo.
Yeah.
Narn and Portnew was yep. our last day, last round that we played. And that was in County Donegal.
Mm-hmm.
Considered one of the finest natural and scenic 18-hole links golf courses in Ireland, sweeping views of Guibara Bay. Which
so best logo of the trip.
Was that the one? So was that the
it's
one
the
that was in
flag
the trailer
and the
park?
American flag, yeah.
That was the trailer park one.
Yeah, so like the clubhouse is in like a, I don't know, like a mobile home.
You can say it. It's okay. It's in a trailer
but
park.
But it's people's like vacation homes, I guess. Like
yeah.
that's kind of what they do over there. Very unique. Like you hit into a net to warm up.
A single net. Most people just don't warm up.
It's kind of like, so I loved it.
I loved the the holes.
Yes. And it's kind of one of those, like, it's it reminds me a lot of Sheep Ranch.
Interesting.
So there's a part of the property, right, as you get back, you kind of have to play some nothing holes
to get out there,
to get into the meat of the property. And then there's like six holes that are just like epic, right? Like
hole 16 along the water.
That first par three, though. Remember the first par three where there's like water everywhere? Then there's 16 is along the,
this one also had the blind par three, like completely blind.
Blind. Yep. And so there's a bit of quirk. It's not a championship style golf course. It's, you play it for the visuals. Like there's epic views, like, and some holes that you're like, holy shit, that's one of the coolest holes I've ever played. Right. Yeah.
I think when we first showed up, I was like, trust the process. There's a reason we're here.
Yeah.
But at first I had no idea why we were there.
Yeah. And then you play the first hole, and the first hole was like kind of a dumb hole.
Uphill green, kind of like a
that par five where you just like bust it down there, and then it's kind of a nothing hole.
And like you said, you get out there and you're like, okay,
yeah,
I see why we're here.
Totally. Peninsula kind of stretch that you play, and you're like, whoa. And it was that there's that par three where you hit, I remember because I made it two. But it was like, it was a pitching wedge straight downwind, remember? And it was all cover.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I
remember you hit a really good shot, and it was like a foot short and didn't get up the hill, and it's like dead.
Yeah. Talk about knockdown wind out there too. Yeah. Like you think that you're downwind on a call it even 30, 40 yard wind that you think you can hit a pitching wedge.
Yeah.
That's going to go 160.
Yeah.
The wind knocks your ball down so hard. Like I was not figuring out the wind. I was not figuring out a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult for me to figure out the first few days.
And then there's another par four that goes like, it's straight downhill, and it's almost like a bowling alley that funnels down to a green that's kind of like on the ocean.
Oh yeah. The one that went down. And to the right.
You can just like pound a driver or a three wood down there. And if you get the right hop, you're going to be on the green. If you get the wrong hop, you're totally boned. Like that was a very cool hole.
Yeah. I think you liked this course the most of anybody on
the trip.
I can see why you liked it.
Yeah. It's just like, there's kind of some holes out there that you're like, whatever, you know, but you're golfing, you're not really paying attention, you know, you're just hitting shots. And then, I think we played that. It was like par four up the hill. Then it was like a long par five. And then it was another par four
on the water.
The first par four was the one that had OB right the whole way there. Remember?
Okay.
Cause I hit it out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's just like cows and on the right and like a fence. And those first three holes, it was kind of like, it's kind of nothing holes.
And this
right?
was also the round where the weather went, like we would have a hole where it would just piss rain on us for 15 minutes. And the caddies would like start putting on their rain gear. Mm-hmm. And we're like, is it kind of rain? And they're like, yep, here it comes.
Yeah.
And it would just downpour, and then it would stop.
And then stop.
And it would downpour, and then it would stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was I did enjoy the course. It wasn't in my top three. I know it was for you. I do want to round out this episode talking about just the caddies. I think next episode we can kind of talk about the games. We can talk about Ireland, the pubs. Just in talking to people since I've been back, a lot of them have asked about, well, you know, the golf might be inexpensive, but like, what are the caddies like? And I'm like, the caddy experience in Ireland was like nothing I ever could have imagined, both for better and for worse.
Yeah.
But the way I've explained it to people is that most of the caddies that we had, caddy is just kind of like a thing to do.
Well, there's two versions of caddies over there. There's the, I'm a resort course or kind of a destination course caddy, mm-hmm. which are typically like local kids.
Yeah. Like right? most. Yeah.
It's not like pro professional caddies. It's like a kid that's going to carry your bag
mm-hmm.
and he's super nice, but is like, you know, they try really hard.
Yeah.
And then there's the clubs that we played that had members caddy for you.
Yes.
And oftentimes those members were a reflection of the club, right? So
correct.
At Ballyliffin, it's kind of a proper club.
It was like that.
Sligo, a proper club. You know, not to say that Portnew and Narn isn't like a proper club, but it's like pretty rural. Like, you know, we had some interesting guys caddying for us there.
Yeah, and that's okay.
And it was awesome. Like, they're super cool. But yeah, there's a lot of variability on like what you're going to get, but you must take one because they're
every time
hilarious and fascinating.
My favorite story to tell is that, what's the name of the first course that we played? Oh, St. Patrick's at Rosenpenna. That was one where like they, you know, hired some local, I mean, we had 12 people there, right? Like, you know, you could get a really good caddy, you get someone that's just there to carry your bag. I think fortunately for me, at least first day, I got somebody that was like a caddy there. He was there all the time, clearly knew the course, was awesome. And the first par three, not the one you made your hole in one on, but mm-hmm. it was like the 5-iron hole.
Yep.
Dave Carruthers, a.k.a. Mama, shout out Dave, playing at the
U.S.
Senior Am this week down in Tennessee with beef on the bag. Hits a 6-iron, probably should have hit a 7-iron, but flushes it, goes just over the green, and like, you know, kind of creating a visual for you. This green, you know, is very slanted, you know, left to right, kind of hilly, and the pin is back right. You know, on the right side of this slanted hill.
It's pushed up against a dune.
Pushed up, yeah. Pushed up against a dune.
The dune is a backdrop.
He goes over the green and ends up literally pushed up against a dune.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the Spring Hill logo or the Windsong logo, imagine a ball right in front of one of those, right? Like you literally can't get your club straight behind the ball. You have to go left or right. And so, you know, Mom is doing his thing. One of the best short game players I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And he's kind of surveying the green, looking around, asking his caddy. His caddy's kind of like, you're fucked, mate. Like,
yeah.
He's looking around and he's like, all right, I got to play this out. So, you know, Mom, I got to play this out sideways. So he's surveying the green and I'm standing next to my caddy and he's like, I don't know what he's going to do. Plays it out sideways and plays the slope absolutely perfect and rolls down to like 10 feet. And now he's next up to play. And my caddy comes over to me. He's like, is he going to make this? Like, is he really going to get up and down? I was like, dude, I've seen this guy get up and down from everywhere. I wouldn't be surprised. Mama steps up and, of course, jars it for a 3. And my caddy kind of turns to me and under his breath goes, that was fucking disgusting, lad. That was fucking disgusting, lad. And I just lost it. I was like, dude, we're in Ireland. This is like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And, you know, 4 rounds later, Mama gets a caddy. That's a 85-year-old woman, bless her heart, on the first tee, literally is looking through a rangefinder backwards, didn't know how to use it, and was allegedly, I wasn't there, but allegedly farting the entire time without like knowing loud. It, or at least like playing it off like she wasn't. So you just get a complete mixed bag. But like you said, I mean, like you have to get a caddy when you go there.
Yeah.
It makes the experience so much better. Yeah. They love talking to you. Like mm-hmm. they love caddying for Americans.
Yep.
And I couldn't have had a better time.
What did you, before we wrap this episode, just like I'm curious how Lynx Golf in Ireland compared to your expectations?
Well, I didn't necessarily have any expectations, but it was way harder than I thought. I have such more of an appreciation for like watching the British now and the control that like the pros have over their golf ball. I think, like I was ready for the dunes. I was not ready for the fescue, but I was ready for the dunes. I was ready for fast and firm. What I really wasn't ready for was how difficult the conditions play when it's windy and wet like that and what it does to your ball. You know, like hitting clubs that have no spin on them and having to play front numbers, not being able to play pin numbers, not being able to put literally any spin on your ball and how much that affects your chipping, your numbers in. But I had a shit ton of fun. Like I had so much fun. Like you said, I think after you embrace it and like embrace the difficulty and embrace like what it's like, then you start hitting some shots and having fun and kind of getting back to the joy of golf.
Yes.
And then I started like my last 2-3 rounds, I loved it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I am okay hitting a 5-iron totally. From 120.
And who cares?
Like, what I'm okay trying to punch a driver and like, let's just go try and make some birdies and have some fun. It Absolutely. Became much more enjoyable after that.
Yeah. The other thing, or the last thing I'll say is, you know, one of the biggest misnomers about Irish golf, Scottish golf is like, people are like, oh, the greens suck, you know, or the greens are slow. What you don't appreciate is that on every putt, you're dealing with a lot of slope most of the time.
Yes.
And so much wind that it affects your putt so positive. So you might 100%. Have a green that stimps 8 or 7, and you have a 10-footer that you try to hit 1 foot. Right? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So
if
those greens were stimping like 12,
impossible.
It'd be unplayable.
Yeah. I agree with that because I know, I mean, it's naive of us as Americans to think that we know like what greens should be like, right? Yeah. Then you get over there and you realize like we were there for 7 days, yeah. right? The average day of weather that we saw was, I would say, blowing 30.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get at least 4 to 6 holes of rain.
Yeah.
And if you tried to play on like American bent grass greens over there, you would 4-putt everything. Yeah. You would 4-putt everything.
Yeah, you would.
And for us to think that like we know what a green should be like, they know what the weather's like.
Yeah.
They know what it's going to play like, yeah. and they know how to make it hard and still roll 8.
Right.
Right. Like they know how to make it difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once you figure out the speed, then it became like, how do I play this slope? Like, right. Mama, how do I chip this to a spot? Like there were a lot of really fun chips that you could hit into greens and yeah. play the slopes and have them roll down to a foot or two.
Putting is way different over there though. It's yeah. like, it's not, even, it's not even close much more athletic.
Yeah.
It's much more feel. It's much more like you could hit the same putt 3 different ways, right? Like there's a lot, it's less track manny.
Yeah.
And golf in general is just less track manny.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we talk about the, you know, on the next episode, so we're going to cover Karn and Enniscrone and
County Sligo.
And County Sligo. Yep. So we'll cover those three. We'll probably talk a little bit more about like the pubs, the lifestyle over there, kind of the stuff that we did outside of golf as well.
Yeah.
On the next episode. But I mean the first three that we played, in my perspective, were a great warm up for what I thought the last three that we played, you know, two of those I think were most people's favorite. Yeah. And it was good to play those three, feel like what Dune Ireland golf is gonna be like mm-hmm. to go into the courses that we played.
Absolutely.
So looking cool. forward to it.